Well, we are living in a world that is groaning under the curse of fatherlessness, and I want to turn the corner now and just start to introduce and update you on the ministry of Covenant Mercies. When we launched Covenant Mercies in 2002, we knew the Lord was calling us to serve orphans internationally. We had a vision for developing a collaborative work, really a work that would be a collaboration between us here and Indigenous church partners in the developing world. But we didn't know exactly where the Lord was leading us. We didn't know exactly what our collaboration with these Indigenous partners would look like. By the end of of 2002, some of those details began coming into focus for us, and we began developing a relationship with a church in a little rural Ugandan town called Nagungera. And I think you're going to be looking at a slide here of two very young men working together to develop the parameters of that program. You'll recognize Joshua Kemba there on the right. It was really Joshua and I that hammered out how this program would work. Joshua was spearheading it in the local church there, and I was working with him to develop what our orphan sponsorship program would ultimately look like. And by the way, one of our very first sponsored children is here today. Julius was one of our early graduates of our program because he was one of the first children sponsored back in those days. One of my enduring memories from that very first visit to Uganda in 2002 was being introduced by Joshua to a woman named Gladys. Gladys had lost her husband to AIDS, and she herself was left to care for two small children, though she was HIV positive. Sadly, I only got to see Gladys one more time in early 2003 before she was gone, and her children were left in the care of their grandmother. Now, Gladys's daughter, Mercy Amanya, was 6 years old at the time of her mother's passing. And by God's grace, Mercy was among the first 248 children who were sponsored when we launched our program in early 2003. This is a good time to just pause and explain to you how the program works. When I say this is a collaborative work, this is a great example of where Joshua and the things that the church there were already doing had a heavy influence on how we developed our program. I would have arrived there in those days with more of an orphanage mentality, assuming, okay, we'll probably build some children's homes and move the children in there. But the church was already actively trying to care for families in the community where, all right, if both of those parents are gone, maybe elderly grandparents have taken the children in, or an aunt or an uncle, someone like that. Or in many cases, there would be a widowed mother who's often left HIV positive and incapable of providing adequate care for her children. So with the limited resources they had, they were already trying to care for these families. We just decided as our sponsorship program began that we would come alongside those families as well and add some more resources to the efforts of the local church there. So to this day, all of the children in our sponsorship program live with their extended family members. Sometimes their mother might still be alive, so it's a widowed mother with her children, and our church partners will come alongside them in the local community. Other times it's grandparents or other family members who have taken the children in. And then through our program, we provide some basic nutritional assistance, medical care, and educational care through the years. Well, as Mercy grew up under the care of her grandmother, she applied herself diligently in school, and she turned out to be a very good student. When she graduated from secondary school at the end of 2016, we, Covenant Mercies, had just established what we call our Mapalo Scholarship Fund for Higher Education. Now, Mapalo is a word that means blessing, and just to be clear, our sponsorship program takes the children all the way through the end of high school or the vocational school equivalent. And then for those who are eligible to go on for college studies, we now have the Mapalo Scholarship Program that they can apply for, and they need to merit that scholarship through their good grades and essay that they write and all of that as part of the application procedure. Well, Mercy applied and became one of our very first Mapalo scholars, and just last year she graduated from Uganda Christian University with a degree in law. As she was approaching her graduation, she got a hold of my email address and sent me an email. And as we interacted, I asked her to tell more of her story so I could share her words in a context like this. So these are Mercy's words that I'm about to share, though I've abridged them. She says, By the time I started understanding, I was staying with my mother at home, and she was sickly. I didn't know she was HIV positive. Life became harder each and every day. I stayed in a family of many people, and sometimes we could go without food. Unfortunately, she passed on in 2003, and a big gap in my life was created, leaving me and my brother to stay with our grandmother. When I got into the program, I was in primary two, second grade, and that's how my new life started. I continued to stay with my grandmother, and I stayed with her until I completed my primary level. When joining my secondary level, I was admitted into one of the best schools in Tororo. This is something so great that had never happened in my life. I never stopped working hard. I never forgot about God because my late mother introduced me and made me know who God is and the great things God can do. And he did that by bringing covenant mercies. I never stopped saying thank you, God, because I knew it was him since day one. After I completed my high school in 2016, it was the same year the Mapalo Scholarship started. I applied for the scholarship, and just when I thought it was done, God showed me that every end to us is just a beginning to him. Who knew that this young girl of primary two would reach this far in life? God did know. I just love the way she concludes this. God did know. I can testify that he never forsakes his children. He answers prayers. His words are promises he keeps. He has been so good to me right from the early years of my life. I believe it was the timing of God because until now, I am still witnessing his goodness. I just want to say, isn't it amazing to hear a young woman whose life hasn't exactly been a bed of roses testifying to the goodness of God in her life? He has been so good to me right from the early years of my life. Well, Mercy is not alone. After 20 plus years of doing this ministry, we're now sponsoring over 1,850 sponsored children in those four different nations. And year after year, we're hearing similar testimonies come to us from a growing number of young people who are graduating from our program and establishing themselves as young adults. We've managed to interview several of them by video, and I want to introduce you now to a young woman named Hannah, who is a recent graduate of our sponsorship program in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. So if we're ready with that video, let's roll it.
I don't remember anything about my mother and father. I had lost both of my parents and my grandmother was paralyzed. I don't have a lot of memories about my grandmother either because I was very young and stayed with her for a short while.
In late 2007, I was in Addis Ababa exploring with some church leaders the possibility of launching a new program there. And one of the church leaders who was leading me around was having a conversation with a gentleman in the community there and was telling him what kind of program we may be launching there. This gentleman pointed to a little girl and said, oh, this little girl might be a beneficiary of that program. In fact, she's HIV positive. Now I looked at this girl. She looked so beautiful and healthy, and it just was not even believable to me that she was HIV positive. Fast forward to early 2009. Our program has recently been launched, and I'm there with our original program coordinator.
I came to know Doug by chance on the road in the early days of my childhood. He was just passing by. I turned back to see him, and he also turned back to see me.
And I walk past this little girl on the street, and both of us catch one another's eye, and we both kind of look like we know each other, but then we keep going. And suddenly it hits me, that's the girl I met a couple of years ago. The difference is that by now, I could very easily tell, or it was no surprise to me if I was told that she was HIV positive.
Covenant Mercies has done so many things for me to take care of my health. After I joined this program, Helena took me to a non-governmental hospital, which provided so many health services that I needed.
Her situation was very concerning, even to the doctors, and we regularly went to her checkup and doctor appointments together, and the doctors, they were discouraged. Her situation was not improving. I was really concerned that she may not make it, because, and that's what the doctors kept saying. And this doctor, she advised that God is there. Like, it's not us who's solely responsible for her.
Helena took me to church. It was such a dark period of my life when she took me to church. I got hope. I was encouraged and was able to see some light. I saw a lot of miracles after that. I even saw God healing me from many of the sicknesses I was suffering from. And it was a long time, but I remember that was when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
After she did that prayer, Hannah's life totally transformed, where she started evolving not only like emotionally and spiritually, but also physically. She started gaining weight and she started to eat healthy. She was also struggling. She had a low appetite and she was not eating well. But at this point, she started eating better. We had to manage to have a contract with a certain restaurant that's nearby so that she can go and dine one time a day.
I was able to get nutritious food such as milk and eggs, which helped me have good immunity. After high school, the program helped me pay my vocational school fees and also helped me cover transport to help me go to school. The program greatly helped me to succeed and graduate. God used everything for my good. He brought the best out of the adversity that I passed through.
One of the key takeaways for me from Hannah's story is the reality that God has ordained specific children for us to care for through our program. We can't possibly care for all the orphans of the world. We can't possibly care for all the needy children of the world. But those children that the Lord ordains for us to care for, we can have a transformative effect on their lives. And by loving them in Jesus' name over years and even decades, we're able to see them transformed into everything He's created them to be.
She's a happy young girl who has a bright future. She anticipates great things in her life, and I'm grateful for the things that God has done in her life. God had a great plan for her, and I've seen it restored in her life.
I love telling Hannah's story because the providential hand of God delivering that child to us is so clear. And it's also a great opportunity to introduce you to some of our godly and competent program staff. You could meet Helena there and just hear the way she's ready to sacrifice on behalf of these children. These are the brothers and sisters there that we have the pleasure of partnering with in this work. Well, after establishing our work in Uganda for several years, we built partnerships in a few other African nations, which I mentioned, including Zambia. And you're looking here at a picture of Wilbrod and Zicky Chanda. This is the dear couple that we established a partnership with in 2006. And sadly, we lost Wilbrod 4 years ago this month, actually, four years ago. Next week is when the Lord took Wilbrod home, and Zicky has soldiered on as the director of Lighthouse Christian School and serving well as our partner, and really thanks God that she has this work to dedicate herself to in the wake of losing Wilbrod so suddenly. We joined hands with Will and Zicky in 2005. I'm sorry, I lost my place telling you about them. It was really through our partnership with this dear couple that we learned the lesson that Sean stated very well, how powerful and impactful the gift of a Christian education can be to our children. Now, our program has always emphasized education and keeping the children in school, but sometimes that means keeping them in a school of 100 other students in the same classroom and a school that's ill-equipped to provide a quality education. But we also learned through partnering with Wilbrod and Zicky in Lighthouse Christian School the powerful impact of a Christian education as well. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But through our partnership with Lighthouse, which began in 2006, we just started by adding a second classroom after they began the school in 2005 with a single kindergarten class. We added a new grade the next year, and then we just, each year progressively, we would add one more grade to the point where we now have over 370 sponsored students in pre-K through grade 9 receiving a quality Christian education through Lighthouse each and every year. Through the years, we've also purchased land and developed their campus. So you're looking at the view from the water tower here, and that's the Lighthouse Christian School. That's the newest center for, we call it the Wilbrod Chanda Center for Education, that newest building there in the center of that photo. Well, I mentioned from day one, education has been important to us in our program, but really we have recognized the especially strategic investment that building and developing our own Christian schools can be, because it provides for us, it provides for our partners on the ground, a Monday through Friday Christ-centered context that multiplies our gospel opportunities in the children's lives and enables us to have a shaping influence on their character through the years as well from a very young age. Well, our fruitful partnership with Lighthouse in Zambia is one of the many reasons we were excited to break ground on Hope Community Primary School in western Uganda, a little town called Kibora. In western Uganda, we broke ground in 2019. You can go ahead to the next slide. There's groundbreaking day, and that man with the big smile on his face to the right there is Moses Nkwatsibwe. He's the partner, the pastor of our partner church there in Kibora. We broke ground in 2019. By God's grace, we were able to open the school in 2020. And fast forwarding to today, I think you're looking at a cute picture of the kindergarten students from day one of the school. Fast forwarding to today, Hope Community just completed the 2024 school year with 224 students enrolled in pre-K through grade 4. Uganda is on a calendar year school year, so their new school year will begin in February, and we'll continue our practice of adding one new grade each year there, just as we did in Zambia, so that we'll add grade 5 this year. And Lord willing, now that we have built enough classroom space on the campus, we will, by 2027, we'll have students in grades pre-K through grade 7, which is the complete complement of primary school grade levels there. Last year, we added, you're looking at an aerial view of the campus now. Last year, we added our third three-classroom building, which gives us sufficient classroom space. We also added a building for a library and computer lab. And Pastor Moses, when we opened this library, he said, "There's not another facility like this within 100 miles." Now, I haven't been able to independently verify that, but I believe Moses, and maybe Joshua and Julius can tell you how believable that is. It is such a blessing for us to be able to provide for these students, not only an education, but truly a quality education, and provide resources for them that are really uncommon in the areas they're growing up in. Well, I am so grateful that as we enter our 24th year of ministry this year, we do so not simply looking back on God's grace, which we do, and we thank God for the grace that He has provided to grow us to the level that we're at now, but we're also looking forward to at many new opportunities and challenges that He's placed before us. And these are opportunities, I live with an awareness of these opportunities are, we can only take advantage of because of the generosity of God's people. And so I'm delighted to have the opportunity to put them before you today for your consideration. If you would like to consider partnering with Covenant Mercies, you probably saw a display table out there. And I'll be there. Julius is going to help me out at the table as well, and we'll do our best to answer any questions that you might have. There are profiles of children who are awaiting sponsors. If you'd like to consider sponsoring children, that's $44 a month to sponsor a child, and we can tell you more about how that program works if you have questions. I also come with a little bit of merchandise. There's just a few things that we sell to, as one of the many ways that we raise funds for those special projects. By the way, it's important for you to know, when when you decide to sponsor a child, that is truly a one-to-one correlation between your giving and that child. We don't draw from those sponsorship funds to build school buildings or anything like that. We raise funds in other ways for those projects, and so you're welcome to support those things through these little items that I've brought with me as well. But listen, I don't pretend that The only way to apply this word is by joining hands with Covenant Mercies. In fact, I prayed this morning that the Lord would be present among us to apply this word as broadly as He desires in all of our hearts. So let me encourage you to come and consider Covenant Mercies, but let's also all be, whether you decide to join hands with Covenant Mercies this morning or not, may we all be disciples who are shaped into everything that Christ has desired us to be, disciples who are eager to take action and embrace the costs and the risks associated with biblical compassion, just as Jesus embraced the greatest cost for us when He came and gave His life on the cross. Let's close in prayer.